Right now it is time for Brian Ross to join us. Of course, Real News is the name of the show, and we check in with Brian every week as we take a look at some of the headlines and stories around out and about in our area. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning to you, Marshall. Big news overnight from the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and you know, I saw it, and to me, it said, "Well, here we go." But then I also saw that Roberts and the liberals dissented, which still doesn't help. But it is a really it sounds the death knell for a lot of things that have been held sacred by the Supreme Court for many years.
Indeed, and Justice Roberts, it was a 5-4 decision not to block this new Texas law, which bans any abortions after 6 weeks about when a heartbeat can first be detected, although at that point 85 to 90% of women don't know that they're pregnant. So it essentially shuts down, for the most part, abortions. And the way it was written was, in its own twisted way, very clever, because it bars state officials in Texas from enforcing the law, and instead essentially deputizes bounty hunters, local residents, any residents anywhere, to sue anybody who helps make an abortion possible, including the Uber driver who takes the person to the abortion clinic. And this has got the Supreme Court all twisted in knots, and the court said essentially, well, this is a procedurally complex, we have to think about it. Justice Sotomayor said, well, the court's just burying its head in the sand, because the precedents before the Supreme Court ruled that it's a question of viability outside the womb as a kind of a turning point deadline, and that's thought to be between 21 to 24 weeks.
It's a groundbreaking. I'm sure today there will be a lot of different back and forth in the news, but really it does lay the stage for Roe versus Wade to possibly be stricken.
Right, the court, that was the court precedent, decades ago, and now it appears there is momentum to essentially undermine that. You know, a number of states across the South mostly have banned abortions effectively by making these dates, 18 weeks, 6 weeks, and they're probably in likelihood, people are predicting that other states will adopt Texas language in their own state, if the Supreme Court allows us to stand. And so far, it has. They could have issued an emergency stop of that law while they considered it, but they did not. And from the point of view of those who support women's reproductive rights, this is really bad news.
All right, I want to move from that story to what also broke overnight, and that was about 5 to 8 inches of rain from New York City up into the Hudson Valley. And once again, New York City, when you see the pictures that come out of the subways, just about brought to a standstill yesterday with that amount of rain.
Right, and actually I'm speaking to you this morning from New York City. I was out last night coming home from a restaurant at the height of that storm. I've never seen such intense rain, but for all effects and purposes now, the New York City subway system is shut down. It flooded, and we think about the effects of global warming and the infrastructure needs to prevent that from happening, but the rain just overwhelmed the subway system, so it's shut down. So there are millions of New Yorkers who will have a hard time getting to work today.
And what's interesting about that is, if you remember back to Superstorm Sandy, the rain caused the same problems. And really, without billions and billions of dollars being spent on New York City alone, I think every major city that's near water is going to have to come up with plans in the future, because it's too late for us to prevent these extreme weather events, and so we're going to have to find some way to cope with them as cities. I mean, look what happened in New Orleans with this latest hurricane. Once again, the levees and the dikes held, but they lost one of their last outer islands, the barrier islands. They lost that. I mean, there's very little protection for these cities by large bodies of water.
Yeah, man's effort to hold back the tide have always been unsuccessful, and that's proving to be the case. What you say is absolutely on point, I think, and underscores the need for these infrastructure expenditures, and probably a lot more than even Joe Biden's recommending or proposing.
All right, take a step back now and take a look at as the dust settles in Afghanistan, what your feelings are at this point.
I had a feeling that it was the right decision, and it was the right decision in the beginning. It was the right decision made by Donald Trump, the same decision made by Joe Biden, and I think while it was clumsily handled, they did get 122,000 people out of there, all of us behind, and that will certainly that'll be tacked on to Joe Biden's record, you know, forever, and the deaths of 13 Marines there by a suicide bomber. But in the end, it looks like the military did a very good job. But I wonder what kind of advice the president was getting that would essentially say, let's get the people with the guns out first, then we'll get the women and children. It seemed like they had it backwards.
Yeah, it was one of the only thing I really disagreed with the pullout is they should have kept Bagram Air Base open as well until the final days to give people who couldn't get to the Kabul airport a better chance to get to Bagram Air Base and also get out. That's my only thing. I mean, it had to end sooner or later, and it wasn't going to end pretty, and it's not going to be pretty over the next several months. And the only way that that'll change is if the world treats the Taliban like the rogue or a rogue regime, if it becomes that way.
They are a rogue machine, and they will continue to be that, and I don't think they really care that much about how they're treated. The one leverage the U.S. has is tens of billions of dollars of their money, which is frozen, which they desperately need. That's the one sort of leverage point we have now to get the remaining Americans out and to try to prevent them from turning the whole country back to the Dark Ages, which, of course, is the underpinnings of their faith.
Well, we sit and take a look at that, and now we have basically with Afghanistan off the map for right now, which will probably come back politically. But we now have some big proposals in front of our Senate and our House that really need to get moving on.
Right, we sort of lost track of all the progress or lack of progress on the various infrastructure, the two different pieces of legislation. But you know the. I think we conclude that even though that war is over, the country here is still not at peace. We are still divided about that, and what's going on in Congress certainly underscores that. You know, the Biden White House and you know Speaker Pelosi and Majority Leader Schumer are pushing it forward. This two-track I guess their solution, their strategy to get the huge infrastructure bill along as the one that had bipartisan support. So. In total, about $3.5 trillion, you know, a huge amount. You can't even begin to calculate how much that is. But if they were able to achieve that, you know, the results would be remarkable. And frankly, if you look at what's happened already with the payments to people who have children, the reduction in hunger in this country, the reduction in child poverty is just staggering. And it makes you wonder why we couldn't have done this a lot sooner. But in fact, so far, what has happened has just been staggeringly wonderful for people who have struggled to live, struggled to put food on the table for their children.
And as we look ahead for the next several months, I mean, they're going to have to. And this is Republicans and Democrats, Democratic Party itself. They have to just put everything behind them and get these proposals passed because really the future of the economy of this country relies on us acting quickly at this point. And most of the burden on this bill, and there's no doubt about it, is aimed at big-time taxpayers, people who make over $100,000, $200,000 a year. So, I mean, so this is the one chance we have to strike while the iron's hot.
Absolutely. I think the president has said that $400,000 a year is sort of his point. Yeah, under that, Americans will not be seeing increased taxes. But certainly, you know, corporations have gotten away for so many years with keeping lowballing their taxes. And so have really billionaires, for the most part. You know, the great series by the investigative group ProPublica, they got a hold of the tax returns of some of America's wealthiest people. And, you know, the fact that they pay almost no taxes many times by legally using various loopholes that exist in the law. And it's time to close those loopholes. And I think that when Biden talks about the fact that all corporations should at least pay 15%, whatever it is, I mean, you know, the average taxpayer is paying, you know, 25 to 40%. Corporations pay at least a minimum, and there should be ways to prevent them from avoiding tax and getting it down to zero.
All right. Well, stay as dry as you can down there in New York.
Yeah. Well, it has passed. The sun is just peeking out. I'll be heading back to Sharon shortly. Good to get back, but yeah, this place got wrecked by that storm. You know, it's 3.5 inches in an hour is a lot of rain, and that's what it was in Central Park. And it was just, I was fortunate to get one of the last cabs left because they ordered all vehicles off the street around 9:30.
Wow!
All vehicles off the street. Can you imagine that? What it came to?
And
rightly so, because it was really, really dangerous out there.
All right. Well, come on back, and we'll welcome you with open arms, Brian, and we'll speak to you next week.
Yeah, looking forward to a great weekend. Thanks,
right.
Marshall.
Take care.
It's been a great summer, and now we'll move into the next phase of our wonderful life.
All right. Take care, Brian.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I'm Brian Ross with Real News this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.